This week, I've been listening to Brené Brown's book, Rising Strong as a Spiritual Practice. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Brené, she is a research professor at the University of Houston's Graduate School of Social Work. She studies vulnerability, courage, authenticity, and shame. In Rising Strong as a Spiritual Practice, she extends her work into a related area, belonging. And y'all, I cannot stop thinking about the importance of belonging. Brené begins by observing a phenomenon we've touched on many times together on Sunday mornings. Over the last 20 years, we have sorted ourselves culturally by ideology into factions. And tucked away behind our ideological bunkers, we live, worship, go to school, and hang out with people who believe like we believe. And if we're honest, we have very little interest in spending time with people who don't believe as we do. And I'll tell you, I really didn't enjoy hearing my behavior described in such stark terms. But as I listened to her talk about it, I knew that this cultural shift has really happened and that it has really been true in my own life. But here's the thing, Brené continues. We might think there's an upside to all this sorting behavior, that we'd all experience high levels of belonging, that we'd be camped out behind our ideological barricades with our best friends. But in fact, the opposite is true. As we have sorted ourselves in this way, loneliness rates have tracked equally with that sorting. The more sorted we become, the lonelier we are. It seems that behind the barricades of our belief, we are not connecting meaningfully with others. And think about it. When membership in this faction or that requires nothing more than accepting the stated beliefs of the faction, we don't need to know each other. We don't need to like each other. We don't even need to want to know to get one another. The stated beliefs of the group that we've chosen may change, and that may require us to keep up with their changing beliefs so we can remain in our group. But as long as we continue to believe what the group believes, we're together because we hate the same belief systems and reject the people who believe in them. Brené calls this common enemy intimacy. And it's not intimacy at all. Think about it. When I know the people in my faction, my friend group, agree with me, or they wouldn't be there, then there's really no reason to engage meaningfully with them about important issues in the world around us. There's no need for a conversation in the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. There's no reason to talk about the deaths of Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, or Adam Toledo in Chicago. There's no reason to discuss race in America or the unconstrained abuse of police power, because I already know that they agree with me. And for that matter, there's no need to engage on these issues with anyone in the other faction because I already know we disagree. And sometimes I've noticed we try to talk about these issues, usually using social media. But I've noticed something. In those rare times when we do speak out about a particular issue, we talk in terms of memes and sound bites that are not designed or intended to reach common ground. We're just virtue signaling, letting our group know that we're still with them. And cut off from meaningful conversation and connection with others, we are without any real sense of belonging. No wonder we're lonely. Brené's message about belonging still floating around in my soul, I turn to this week's lectionary readings, which focus on Jesus, the good shepherd. I have other sheep, Jesus says, that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. I've looked at my Facebook feed recently, and I don't think we're there yet. Paul seems to think otherwise, though. Writing to the Galatians in the earliest days of the church, he said this: "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." I was reflecting on this with a friend yesterday, and she said, "I need to push the pause button and just note that Paul didn't have Facebook or in-laws." True. And yet the witness of Scripture is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has already created the one flock over which he serves as the one shepherd. The problem seems to me to be that we are not living into the unity that Christ has established, the unity into which we have been baptized. And if we look back at today's gospel, I think we may get a clue about where the problem lies. Jesus says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." Did you catch that? What makes all these disparate groups of sheep, all these factions of sheep into a flock, is that they listen to Jesus' voice. And in our reading from 1 John today, we're reminded of just what Jesus' voice has to say. Only one commandment: love one another. Love one another. It's so simple to say, isn't it? And so hard to do, because people are hard to love. I'm hard to love because I disagree with you on at least one issue. I'm hard to love because I have a tendency to want to live behind a bunker that protects me from the inevitable conflict that comes from stating my opposing viewpoints to those of others. And yet there's the voice of the one shepherd, of the one flock we're supposed to be, calling us to love one another. To do this well, we're going to have to move in closely. First, we have to move in closely to God, the one shepherd who is deeply, passionately, over the moon in love with us. As we heard in our epistle today, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We need to let that, the depth of our shepherd's love, sink in until we realize that when we hide behind the bunkers of ideology, we have separated ourselves from the one flock. Jesus, our good shepherd, is calling us to abide in his love, to camp out in the reality that all of us, regardless of our factions or our beliefs, are members of one flock and are inextricably connected to one another through our one shepherd. Moving in close to Jesus as the one shepherd over the one flock this week, I couldn't help but wonder, how does the good shepherd see Derek Chauvin? We see him only through his sin. And depending on the faction we've aligned ourselves with, we may see him as just an out-of-control cop who ruthlessly killed a black man for allegedly using a counterfeit bill. Or we may see him as a police officer whose efforts to control a man who was resisting arrest ended in tragedy. I wonder how Jesus sees this particular sheep. I'm pretty sure it's not just through the lens of his sin. Friends, our bunkers are preventing us from living fully as members of the one flock under one shepherd. And only when we understand this can we become instruments of the great and powerful love our shepherd has for the whole flock by sharing that love with everyone we meet. And just as we move toward God to soak up God's love, sharing that love with others requires us to move towards them. As Brené puts it, people are hard to hate close up. Move in. Or, as we heard in 1 John today, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Our worship today can be the beginning of a movement toward loving in truth and action. We are gathered here. We have heard the words of our one shepherd, words of powerful, life-altering love. We act as one flock today. We will pray as one flock. We will profess our faith as one flock. And normally, except during the season of Easter, we confess as one flock the ways in which we haven't lived into that truth. And each week when we leave here, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to extend the love of our shepherd to the world around us, to break down the barricades of belief that we and those who see the world differently from us have erected, and to reach out our arms of love, encircling others with real connection and true belonging. Ensure and certain trust that we are all members of one flock led by one shepherd. Move in close to God this morning with us, friends. And having done so, when you leave here today, move in close to others, extending to all you meet the love you've received this day. And the one flock said,